everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Convos.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Convos on IG. Email us at afrosandconvos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandconvos.com. Little housekeeping. Kika is, you know, she's taking a little bit of personal time, so she's going to be out for a while. But in the meantime, you still have us three, you know? Ooh. We're still going to be here. And, of course, she'll be back before you know it. So, with that being said, how's everybody doing?
Not as good as you're doing, sis. I'm good. Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Me too. Me too. I'm hocked up on a little tequila, so, you know, I'm good, you know? All right. Also, housekeeping. So, we are changing things up a little bit. So, you guys know how on Thursdays we have our topic, and then on Saturdays it'll be trending combos. Well, we're going to switch that up. We are here today on Thursday with trending combos. And then, so moving forward, every Saturday will be reserved for our topic of the week. So we are going to give this a try and see how we like it. All right. So it is time for trending combos. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll start it off because this one was interesting to me. Did y'all see that Frostproof Florida unanimously voted to make the first week of February Donald Trump week? Oh, wow. I wish y'all could have saw their faces. Yes, honey. Yes, honey. This small town of Florida just announced it. It's going to be Donald Trump week, the first week of February. Isn't that ironic in Black History Month?
Right. He started out with a week, and then he going to end up with a whole month, just like Black History. That's how that would happen.
What y'all think? I don't ever want to go no frostproof. Well, we gotta figure out what that says, so we'll draw through them.
I'm looking at it right now. It's between two lakes. Lake Clinch and Reedy Lake has a population of a whopping 3,191 people.
Oh, they can have that little Donald Trump day then.
The area is 19 square miles.
Wow, really?
They can have that.
We won't be going to Frostproof. So y'all be careful if y'all ever got a drive through there. Especially during Donald Trump week. I wonder what the festivities will consist of. Okay, my next news. R. Kelly's associate pleads guilty to attempting to bribe witnesses not to testify against him. Did you guys, surprise, surprise. Same person. Uh-huh. Same people that was like, no, I ain't do that. You're pleading guilty now. I think you did do that. So I don't know how that's going to impact the case or... Okay. My next news. This was interesting to me, y'all. So, you know, Floyd Mayweather is getting, you know, back. He got a couple of fights set up. And he said he's interested in fighting his former friend, 50 Cent, in a match. But 50 was just like, nah, he's too small. Who y'all think will take it? Y'all think Floyd or 50 gotta be?
50 is big, but do he box?
I don't know. I don't know nothing about his technique, but I know like he done beat some.
Go ahead, Camille.
I said, I know he looked like he done, you know, beat a few Negroes down.
But also, I think him being big would play into Floyd Mayweather's advantage just in how he boxes. He's not an aggressive, like, assertive boxer. He moves around a lot, kind of tires out his opponent. He's very evasive. He's not very, you know, like, go towards the person. He waits for them to come to him, and he moves around a lot. So I think 50 Cent being big would work to his disadvantage, fighting someone specifically like Floyd Mayweather.
That's true. That'd be an interesting matchup. We'll see if it actually happens.
I feel like I don't see 50 Cent doing that.
Yeah, 50 Cent ain't gonna do nothing that he gonna... It's like a high likelihood that he gonna fail it. He ain't gonna do that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Especially, okay, I got one more. Fail in such an embarrassing way. Yeah, you know how many memes there would be?
And absolutely.
Like they would have to offer him a completely outrageous amount of money before I think he would even consider
doing it. Yeah, like his current net worth. They would have to offer that.
His current net worth.
Because the way that man trolls, do you know if he gets up and does some stupid shit like that and loses?
Oh, absolutely.
Nights out. Lights out.
Yeah, I've seen it. Okay, my last one is kind of a two-part, and y'all may expound upon this. But this week, Jeff Bezos stepped down as the CEO of Amazon. And I was like, oh, they $1 trillion company. He like, I ain't got to run the company no more. Then I saw Amazon is ordered to pay almost $62 million to flex workers following a federal investigation of wage allegations. I was like, is that why we're stepping down as CEO? We're not paying people their money? $62 million?
But that's
how? I mean compared to a drop.
A drop in the bucket, and then also over how many in their workforce. Like, I mean.
Yeah, they employ a lot of people.
Because I feel like even if, well, I mean, the board may have something to say as a publicly traded company. Yeah. But I feel like even if he did do something or he was maybe directly involved, I mean, he still brought Amazon from nothing to what it is. So it's kind of like, okay, you lost the $62 million over making us a trillion. I mean,
yeah, like what's $62 million? Who? Exactly. I mean,
But I mean, I don't know. The board may feel differently, so he.
Well, he's the board chair now, sis.
Well, yeah, he's a executive chair, so.
Mm-hmm. So he the board. He what they gonna say?
But I mean, now is also like, I mean, because I'm thinking of like when what's his face over at Microsoft left. What's his name?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, yeah, when he left. And sure. Then
somebody else.
You thought I was thinking about somebody else?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, surely she's not thinking about Bill Gates.
I could not think of that man's name. I could see his face, but I could not think of his name. But like, you know, when he left it and then goes off and ventures off to be like this huge philanthropist, but was previously known to be like a jackass basically, and then completely tried to overhaul his image or whatever. I don't necessarily know what Jeff Bezos, like, you know, like what his reputation is in terms of how he handles business, conducts business, if he's an asshole or whatever. I can imagine that he probably is. And so to kind of overhaul, like, now's the time that you transition into philanthropy. Like, this is what they do. Like, certain he's about to be a huge philanthropist, and now he's going, I don't know. Bill Gates is tackling pandemics. This man, I don't know, and water supply and shit like that. Like, who knows what Jeff gonna be like, you know, what's the problem? We need to, you know, repave all of America's highways. Like, who knows what he's gonna do, something, you know, ridiculous. And I could see highways, actually, I was joking, but like that actually could be something, because Amazon is, you know, a company that is a delivery company. So like that absolutely could fit into something that he does. So who knows? I mean, I feel like that's gonna be his next step. So
yeah.
But you know, they already are like what, aiming to be, what's it called? I was about to say zero net carbs. That's the
carbon neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, whatever it means for your zero. carbon neutral by what year is it? 2030?
It's something really soon, like relatively soon. I think it is something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the commercials were. When you think about how many Amazon trucks there are. There are at least three, no lie, like my setup at home, my desk is right next to the window. every single day, at least 3 different Amazon trucks come into my neighborhood to deliver. And it's like, every day, my neighborhood is not that big at all. It's like 2 streets, honestly. 3 trucks a day, at least. You multiply that times the whole country.
And that's just... That's just trucks, because they also do contracting with regular people who be driving in regular cars. So, I mean.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they, if they don't do something, they will single-handedly push us into irreparable damage by, like, next year. So, I'm glad they're taking the initiative.
Yeah. So, we'll see what he does.
But that's all I got. Besides, you know, shout out to Mackenzie Scott, formerly Bezos, who is just collecting money as her share of the company continues to grow. But that's all the news I got.
Man.
Okay, I can go next. So, have y'all seen that both Coachella and Stagecoach have been canceled?
Yeah.
Yet again. They've already canceled them, which, I mean, they were there. Well, I don't know. I don't watch that. But Coachella is in April. I mean, it's February. That makes sense. But I just feel like when Coachella comes back, it is going to be epic.
It has to be.
They've missed 2 years now. I mean, I think if there ever was a time to go to Coachella, it would be this. Well, if there ever was a time, it was Beyonce.
Absolutely.
But we're not going to go down that road as to why I wasn't there to see Beyonce give the performance of a lifetime. I digress. We're not going to go there. But
he's not over it.
Not at all. It's very fresh. It's very, very fresh. Anyway, so yeah, hopefully they will announce the performers super early, like they did with Beyonce, and then you know, I can make my arrangements. Maybe. I don't know, by next April I might not want to be around. Like, I feel like it's gonna take me a minute, like almost like PTSD. Like, it's gonna take me a minute to be like, I'm perfectly okay with the fact that there are 30,000 people around me right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I can't imagine that. Like, I think back to when I went to Obama's first inauguration. I think for me, that's the most people I've ever been around in my life. If the thought of being in a situation like that right now, I mean, I just want to have a panic attack. Like, I could not imagine being surrounded by that many people.
Yeah.
So honestly, I don't know if by April 2021, I'll be okay with that, but.
Aren't Olympics
it'll be April 2022, wouldn't it?
Oh, April 2022. I'm sorry. April
2022. Oh, yeah. But yeah, are the Olympics still happening this year or no? Y'all know?
I don't know.
I feel like they probably haven't canceled them.
I feel like they probably haven't, but.
They're going to.
I don't know. Because reading that book, Outlaw, Blamed, Target. What was the name of that book about Richard Jewell? Outliers?
No. Nope.
Like one word thing, wasn't it?
Suspect.
Suspects, that's it. I knew it was one word that was like isolating this one person. In that book, how they talked about how literally cities can go bankrupt. It's like make or break to host the Olympics. Because
for those who don't know, Suspect was about the Olympics in Atlanta and the bombing that occurred around that. So that's what she's talking about. But there was talks about how Atlanta went about obtaining the Olympics. So
yes, thank you for that. In the book, it talks in detail about cities prior to Atlanta that hosted the Olympics, cities who did it well and made a profit, cities who did not do it well and pretty much literally bankrupted their city just by hosting the Olympics. So keeping that in mind, understanding that, I think they are going to do whatever they can to push for that to happen in 2021, because they have fronted all of this money. They've built all these buildings and infrastructure they've done all of this stuff. And if they push it back another year, then that means that summer and winter will be in the same year. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to be, not that the same people go to summer and winter, but you are essentially splitting it. People mm-hmm. aren't going to go to both. And so I would see them pushing to have it this year, even though it probably wouldn't be the safest thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And then also, like, just for like the commission to pick the next city, like, has that already happened? Because doesn't that happen at the games? So if the games hasn't happened in 2020 and then we push it back again, the people who bid to get it, they got to go in 2024. If we don't have it, we gonna have it in 2022. They gotta have it in 2024 if we push it back again. Like, that's a short amount of time to prep for a whole Olympics. So, like,
they've already picked 2024.
Oh, have they? Who's 2020? Paris. That's right. You're right.
So then, I mean, yeah, Paris probably looking at them like, you starting to encroach upon our territory.
Right, because, I mean, that's true, too, because if these people go, like, Olympics, Summer Olympics is every 4 years, so that's a plenty of time for me to save, to fly, to get to wherever I, but you talk about 2 years, okay, now you encroaching a little bit now, mm-hmm. got to save my coins where I can, and then we just came out of pandemic, did you see the economic recession or no? Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, so another little interesting tidbit. So I find it very interesting. We've talked about this multiple times before, how all these companies were like, we're pro-black, black so great, all things black, woohoo, because it's the month of June and people are talking about this, June 2020. So every time I hear a story about a company continuing to do something, like now, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. Maybe I did care a little bit because honestly, people are not talking about it now the way that they were then. You could completely fall back into silence and nobody would be checking for you mm-hmm. right now. So Ulta has made the decision to double the number of Black-owned brands in their store with over $4 million being dedicated to marketing those brands specifically. And I read that. I was like, okay, double the number. Okay, that's good. 4 million, not going to lie. I think that number's a little low.
Yes, it is low.
4 million in marketing for mm-hmm. a brand like Ulta. Okay. But mm-hmm. then they have appointed a diversity and inclusion advisor by the name of Tracy Ellis Ross.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you're doing a little something. Which
well, let's hope that didn't come out the $4 billion, because you know,
because they ain't got no money left now.
Exactly.
Well, they may get a little more shelf space in the negotiations. You know, we'll see. But
I feel like that was a very appropriate choice. She has a Black-owned beauty brand. Mm-hmm. I assume it's sold in Ulta. I don't know. I don't buy it, but. Yeah. So, So we'll see. If this is the last announcement we see about diversity and inclusion from Ulta for 5 years, then we know she's probably not doing that well. So we'll keep our eyes open and see what else she has. Okay, so this next story had me shook. So when is the last time y'all been to Chick-fil-A?
Probably a couple days ago.
Last Friday, probably.
Did you all notice anything? How did you order? Through the drive-thru?
Mm-hmm.
I did the little app situation.
Or different? Mm-mm. No? Mm-mm. Okay. Well, apparently this initiative has not reached everywhere yet. But Chick-fil-A is allowing people to work from home. Like, there is a video online of someone in line in a car at the drive-thru. And you know how they had a little video monitor? But you can see the girl is sitting in her bedroom at home. And she's like, oh, would you like to upsize that? Do you want, oh, my pleasure. Do you want fries? She putting in these people order in her bedroom, at her house.
Yo.
So the only people that's actually in the store is the people making the food and the people handing out the food. Everybody else at the house. I'm like, what? Shook. I saw this video. I was like, I watched this video so many times. Like, but is she really? And it's like, no. At the house, that's a dresser and a TV and a ceiling fan, and her, she got her little red polo uniform on though. My pleasure, homegirl at the house. So I'll be interested when one of y'all come back to me and like, yeah, I went to Chick-fil-A today, and the person that took my order was at home.
I'm about to go to Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
I'm like, go to the drive-thru just to see you.
But no, when I went a couple days ago, because I mean they have people out. I don't know if it's the case at every Chick-fil-A. I'm pretty sure I only go during like the rush. So where they have people, like I don't know the last time I ordered at a screen at the menu of Chick-fil-A. So they typically have people out that are taking orders with the little iPad and whatever. So I'll be itch. Maybe I'll go around 4 o'clock or something and see if I can get me to the menu. That'd be interesting. Oh, wow. That's great, but kudos to them for figuring it out.
I feel like most people would be like, "Oh, y'all got to be here. There's no other option.
There's no way to make it work." Because even listening to you talk about it, I'm still like, I don't know that I would have thought of that. But yeah, you absolutely. Give them an iPad and they can do that.
Yeah. I'll go with one more. Okay, so have you all seen that Ryan Coogler has signed a deal with Disney Plus, a 5-year deal, and it includes a Wakanda TV series?
Oh, yes.
So, y'all think y'all gonna be checking it out?
Probably not, to be honest.
Yeah, TBH, I probably won't either. But I thought it was great, though. I mean, I think it's great. But I'm not like a superhero kind of person. That's not the content that I enjoy watching. So I probably won't be partaking. But that's cool, though. I mean, hey, he making moves. He's super young. I'm here for it. Okay, I'm gonna say I'm.
You said you gonna say you done?
I mean, I have something else. Well, a couple.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I'm good.
Go ahead. I feel like you have to say them now.
Yeah.
You kinda got well, to. I'll say one. Have y'all seen the Golden Globe nominees?
Okay, I was gonna talk about that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, you got it. It's on you.
No,
girl.
Go ahead. We can tag team it. Okay. That's I'm gonna do that one last though. Okay. So I mentioned her. Last trending convos, two trending convos ago, I don't know. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
There we go.
Okay, just to recap, she is a freshman congresswoman from Georgia. You know, she'd be on the Twitter sphere talking about, you know, stuff is fake. She said Parkland shooting was a false flag operation. She tweets and likes tweets advocating for the assassination of prominent Democrats. She believed that the election was stolen from Trump. She's QAnon's bestie. And she voted to impeach Biden. She met with GOP leadership, Kevin McCarthy specifically, and basically they were supposed to come up with some kind of plan to figure out what to do with her. Well, the GOP is not going to do anything with her because apparently she said that, you know, she's going to be a little bit more careful with her words, and that was good enough for them. And yeah, so that's that. But the Democrats said, nah, bruh, like, nah. So they're going to be introducing a resolution to get her removed from her committee appointments. She is on, I know she's on, like, education. She's on something else. I can't think of what that is. But education was, like, the one that everybody talked about because she's, like, how you going to be, you know, dealing with safety of schools and all this other stuff. If you talk about a school shooting was fake and whatever. So yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But also, so another freshman congresswoman, Cori Bush, who is from St. Louis. She's a Black woman. She, you know, she, I guess, I don't know if she was like next door to Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she was close, like her office was close, in close proximity. Well, you know, Congresswoman Bush petitioned, you know, Speaker Pelosi and asked for her office to be moved away from Congresswoman Taylor Greene. Because apparently, you know, Congress people be walking through halls and stuff. And, you know, sometimes they talking on the phone. Sometimes they talking to their staffers. Sometimes, you know, whatever. It's stuff going on in the hallways. So Congresswoman Bush said she saw Congresswoman Green in the hallway. And Congresswoman Green was speaking very loudly on the phone and didn't have no mask on. Well, according to the rules in the Capitol, you are to wear a mask. And so Congresswoman Bush, being the Black woman that she is, told that woman to put a mask on. Hey, hey, you should be wearing a mask, is what she said. Well, Congresswoman Taylor Greene lashed out at her and told her. Now tell me if this makes sense to you. This was her response. Stop inciting violence with Black Lives Matter.
Oh, you're playing.
What?
Because she told her to put a mask on?
Yeah, she told her to put a mask on. You know, and Congresswoman Bush has also said that Congresswoman Taylor Greene apparently tweeted on none other than MLK Day that Bush was a leader of the mob that called the mob, that's in quotes for those who are listening, that called for the rape, murder, and burning of the McCloskey family home. Do y'all remember who the McCloskeys are? Mm-mm. Those them people that came out of their house when it was the Black Lives Matter protest, yeah, and they were carrying guns and, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what Congresswoman Taylor Greene said. So Congresswoman Bush said, hey, Pelosi, listen, sis, now. She can stay, but I got to go. Like, mm-mm. Either you move her or I move her. So
that's what she said, Cookie.
That's what she said. So her office got moved. I don't know where, but it has been moved on the order of Speaker Pelosi. So thought that was quite interesting.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like some high school stuff.
Don't it?
Come on, yes, because she, I ain't say, why? No, when we was there, I'm like, no. What? Wow, the fact that she leapt all the way to stop inciting violence with, like, no. A rational conversation cannot be had with you.
Cannot be had.
Obviously.
And honestly, like, I probably would have sat there and, like, you know, been in my office next door to her until she tweeted what she tweeted, because then who knows how many followers this woman has, and, you know, she in QAnon and all that stuff. That's like millions of people. So, like, you know what? I'ma just pack my shit and I'ma move across the hall. You know, All right, next up, we talked about this crazy stuff that was going on with GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
So GameStop, again, you know, it is the, well, I don't know if it's foregone anymore, but the destination where you go and buy games, almost like it, well, you can buy, I think you can buy, like, also, like, used games too, but it's like Blockbuster, but you're buying them. Yeah, that stock was originally trading, like, you know, back before the pandemic at like $6-$7. It skyrocketed within the past week or so to $400 and some odd dollars. Well, you know, So the mastermind behind the massive GameStop rally is drawing attention from regulators. Obviously. So, Keith Gill, who is known on the internet as none other than Roaring Kitty. Don't ask me why or what that means. But he has, you know, he's been posting about GameStop for upwards of a year. Like, he's been posting about his belief in this company or whatever for... He has YouTube channel, all this stuff, whatever. So he actually was a former employee and may have been at the time that GameStop took off. He may have still been an employee. I'm not sure. I saw dates, but I don't remember exactly when the date of the GameStop rally started. So he may have still been an employee of Mass Mutual, and he is a registered securities broker. Now, that's a problem because so licensed broker, he's a licensed broker. Like I said, he's a registered securities broker. They're obligated to let their employers know about outside activities that they're partaking in on social media and otherwise that involves, you know, securities and stocks and all that stuff. Well, Mass Mutual, of course, claims that they knew nothing about what he was posting and nothing about his YouTube channel, blah, blah, blah. That may be questionable, but especially if he's been doing it for upwards of a year or more. So it could be, I mean, because he's under Roaring Kitty, so maybe nobody knew who Roaring Kitty was. But yeah, so they claim that they knew nothing about it, but members of Congress are wanting an investigation. So the likes of people like Representative Maxine Waters wants to see Kitty himself and wants Kitty to testify. And you know what I'm saying, like, let's have a conversation. Also, members of Congress are wanting to have an investigation into Robinhood and how Robinhood conducts their practices, because that is also a whole nother side of the story. Robinhood basically froze trading. Like, you could not purchase for a while. They froze GameStop and AMC. Like, they froze a bunch of them, like, securities that was on what I talked about, Reddit, that people were buying up massively to squeeze out these hedge funds and screw the hedge funds, basically. And they froze them. And they said you couldn't buy or sell or do anything with it. They issued a bunch of statements as to why that is, but that has not saved them from a bunch of lawsuits. So Robinhood is currently under a ton of lawsuits because they froze trading on those particular stocks that were running up like massively. One thing though, so this particular guy, Keith Gill, the Roaring Kitty himself, he posted a photo on the Reddit. So I reckon that they're called forums, like chat rooms, like, because Reddit is like real, it looked like real rudimentary, like, yeah, like like back in the early when AOL dial up, like that's what it looked
like, Windows 95.
yes So they're called forums. So the forum Wall Street Bets on Reddit is where all of this conversation about the stocks to buy up or whatever. So this guy, Roaring Kitty, posted a photo when GameStop was rallying up, showing that his holdings in GameStop was worth, guess what his holdings were worth?
At what point?
When it was rallying up. So it may not have been at its peak, but it hadn't turned yet.
I don't know.
I don't either.
$48 million.
Wow, yeah, my mind was way below that.
Me too, girl.
Wow. So how much had he... So he had been posting for a year. He had been buying for a year.
I don't know when he bought, but whatever he bought, he ended up being worth $48 million. But as we said, when we mentioned it, to be careful, because there is nothing justifying this valuation Nothing happened. GameStop hadn't did nothing. They ain't said nothing. In fact, when they started rallying up, they came out with a statement and said, "We don't know what this is about. I don't know what they got going on, but we have done nothing to justify this rally." AMC issued a statement similarly. I mean, obviously it was worded very professionally, like, "We have nothing, there's no development, there's been no development," or whatever it is. But basically they saying, "We don't know shit, we ain't see shit, we ain't did shit. So don't come to us." But as we said, be careful, because he posted a later picture showing that his holdings were at $8.6 million. Now listen, he had the same picture had, it showed that he had a cash balance of $14 million, which is in addition to the $8.6 million in stock that he held in GameStop. But that means that what was once $48 million is now $8.6 million. Now, he might have shaved off some of that earnings, but 8.6 plus 14 does not equal 48. So he lost a lot of money, too. I mean, he's still, I would assume, in the green, but he lost a lot of money. And that's what we're saying.
What did you say it was trading at before the pandemic?
Before the pandemic, it was below $10. It was like $6, $7. I think at its peak, it was like 430 something. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. So, you know, he might be in some deep doo-doo, though. So, you know, we'll see. But on to the Golden Globes. So, obviously, Netflix led the way. We're in quarantine, so, you know, they was pumping out some content. So, that's great. I wanted to say, I think every time, like, the award season comes around and, you know, they announce their nominations, it's always going to be some controversy as to who got picked, why they didn't get picked, blah, blah, snub. Blah. Yep, the people who got snubbed, whatever. So I wanted to mention a couple of let's see if... These are the only ones that I saw that were under Netflix, but I didn't list everything that got nominated. Dre, you might have other things that you want to talk about. But did y'all see The Queen's Gambit? So The Queen's Gambit got nominated for, I don't know what it got nominated for, but it deserved to be nominated because The Queen's Gambit was really good. The Crown, obviously, got nominated. Obviously. Had y'all seen Emily in Paris?
No,
like, I've seen it on Netflix, I haven't watched it.
Okay, so Emily in Paris is, I watched it, but it was very much a like, oh, I'm cooking, and oh, okay, I'll put this on because it's in, I think it was in the top, it must have been in the top 10 because otherwise I wouldn't watch it. So I just put it on and I just let it play. Emily in Paris was so like basic. Like, I don't know why I got nominated. Like,
that's why I didn't watch it. Like, I watched the trailer and it didn't look that, it looked real kind of like teenish. And I was okay, no thanks.
Yes, like it was on in the background, didn't require a whole lot of thought, didn't require a whole lot of attention. And yeah, I shocked to see that was nominated. Also, Ratchet.
I like Ratchet.
But what was it for? Like, in what category?
I don't remember. Because the list I was looking at was like, surprised this got nominated, but I didn't see what it got nominated for. Let me see. I think Ratchet looked good. I think it was shot beautifully. But like, I don't feel like it was a good story.
Which was why I asked what it was nominated
for. What it was nominated for? Yeah.
Like, what category?
Sarah Paulson got nominated for lead TV drama actress.
She did a great job.
I guess. Yeah.
She did a great job. Not convinced.
I mean, I'm not convinced because, well, I love Sarah Paulson. I'm not going to say I don't.
It was nominated for Best Television Drama. 3 nominations, one of which was Best Television Drama. So absolutely, that's pretty all inclusive.
Absolutely, I thought it was pretty good.
No, I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy Ratched, but I don't think that there was enough there. Like, what was Ratched about? Like, what's
about Nurse Ratched? Well, she wasn't no nurse, but you know.
Correct, but okay.
All the aspects of her life and how she dedicated her life to saving her crazy mom.
I didn't think there was enough development there for it to be nominated for Best TV Drama. I just don't. Nah. And then the 5 Bloods didn't get nominated.
Okay, wait, pause. Back to Ratched.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Ratched was a prequel.
Yes, it's because it is it. So Nurse Ratched is a character in One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah.
Yes, and so they were taking the storyline and telling how she became crazy and One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize it was a prequel. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah. The 5 Bloods didn't get nominated.
I haven't seen that. I honestly heard it's not that good.
I felt like it was good. I felt like it was better than, well, it's a movie, so it's not a TV, but I felt like it was good. Camille, did you see it?
I saw it.
Did you think it was worthy of a nomination?
No, I don't. And I thought it was good, but I thought it was good, but I also like Spike Lee. I don't think it was Oscar. I mean, not Oscar.
It's not Oscar.
I don't think it was Golden Globe worthy. Do I think there was some good acting that happened in there? Absolutely. Did I like the story? Yes. But what I said, give it a Golden Globe? Nah.
But you would give, okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. What? Wow.
Well, seems like a lot of people agree with me.
The Golden Globes committee agreed with you, not a lot of people, because a lot of people are upset that the 5 Bloods didn't get nominated and are upset that Ratched got nominated. So, I mean.
And then what did Spike Lee win? Samuel L.
Jackson. I remember it was recent because I remember it being recent.
It was so good.
Black Klansman?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. That was really good. You think the 5 Bloods and Black Klansman are on the same level?
I don't think Oscar and Golden Globes are on the same level either.
That's true.
Yeah, that's an Oscar. So, no, I mean, yeah, no. But I, you know, I don't know. What did you have to... Oh, Chadwick Boseman, I would say, he received a nomination for his role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So, you know, I haven't seen that, but I heard great things about it, but I felt like I need to be in a headspace to watch that, so I, you know, that's another one.
You don't really have to be in a headspace. I think it ain't a
lot of singing. Ain't it a lot of singing?
Not for real.
Oh, that's why I had to be in the right headspace, because I can't do singing.
Now, Viola Davis killed Ma Rainey. She is amazing. I heard
Chadwick outperformed her.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, they were both nominated.
Well, okay. Yeah, they were both nominated. And Regina King got nominated for Best Director in her directorial debut. It's a debut.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane for One Night in Miami. Yeah.
I still haven't watched it yet. Y'all watched it?
I did.
I haven't. It's on Amazon Prime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that where I watched it? I thought I watched it on... Oh, that might have been
it. That's where it's at. Yeah.
That might have been it, yeah. Because I thought I watched it on Apple, but that probably was it. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting.
It seems like that would be the description.
Seems like a movie I wouldn't like.
Yeah, Dre, I do not think you would like it. I'm not going to lie to you. Do not think you would like it. I didn't even halfway like it. But you know,
I think I would like it.
I ain't mad that she got nominated.
Yeah, that was mostly what I wanted to say, was just that Regina King was nominated for Best Director.
And that is a category that had three women. The Best Director had three women nominated, which is like, that's one thing that people have been crying for, to have more women be nominated or be recognized or get some sort of nod for directing movies. So I thought that was cool. I mentioned before that Netflix was leading the way with, you know, what nominations and stuff, but you know what's absent? Did y'all recognize what's absent? Bridgerton is absent because that shit sucked. That is absent. So
no, that was the NAACP Image Awards it was nominated for. Yeah,
it did not get nominated for a Golden Globe at all.
It was nowhere near even close to Golden Globe worthy.
I mean, Emily in Paris got nominated, so you know.
Well, I haven't seen that, but I I mean,
no. I do think Emily in Paris was better than Bridgerton, but not much. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought those things were interesting, but you know, But that's all I got. Any final thoughts?
No.
All right, we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.